the hiss of the quenched element, the breakage of the pitcher which I had flung from my hand when I had emptied it, and above all, the splash of the shower-bath I had liberally bestowed, roused Mr. Rochester at last. Though it was now dark, I knew he was awake, because I heard him fulminating strange anathemas at finding himself lying in a pool of water.
"Is there a flood?"
he cried.
"No, sir," I answered, "but there has been a fire. Get up, do. You're quenched now. I will fetch you a candle."
"In the name of all the elves in Christendom, is that Jane Eyre?" he demanded. "What have you done with me, witch? Sorceress? Who's in the room besides you? Have you plotted to drown me?"
"I will fetch you a candle, sir, and in heaven's name, get up. Somebody has plotted something. You cannot too soon find out who and what it is."
"There, I'm up now. But at your peril you fetch a candle yet. Wait 2 minutes till I get into some dry garments, if any dry there be. Yes, here's my dressing-gown. Now, run."
I did run. I brought the candle, which still remained in the gallery. He took it from my hand, held it up, and surveyed the bed, all blackened and scorched, the sheets drenched, the carpet round, swimming in water.
"What is it? And who did it?" he asked.
I briefly related to him what had transpired, the strange laugh I had heard in the gallery, the step ascending to the third story, the smoke, the smell of fire which had conducted me to his room.